Romans chapter 10, we look particularly this morning at verse 9. We talk again this morning about our task as individuals to engage in personal witness and to engage in personal evangelism. But when we are engaged in this work of personal evangelism, one of the things that we must, as individuals, be prepared to face is the basic sin of the unbeliever. That basic sin is very simple, yet it is quite devastating. The Apostle Paul, in talking about that basic sin, puts it this way. He says, they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creator, or the creature, rather than the creator, who is blessed forever. This was the sin of Adam and Eve. It was the sin of Adam and Eve in the beginning in the garden. And Adam and Eve said, very specifically, we're going to accept the word of Satan. And we're going to do what we want to do, not what God wants us to do. In other words, Adam and Eve said, in essence, we're going to run our own lives. And you're not going to run our lives, God. This has been man's basic sin ever since the garden. Men and women would rather worship and serve themselves, the creature, rather than they would desire to worship and serve God, the Creator. And so it comes down to this, really. The unbeliever believes in himself or herself and says to the world, I am the master of my destiny. I am the master of my soul. And I'm going to do what I believe is right. And I'm not going to listen to any so-called greater power. Now, when we come to the unbeliever, we have to realize that this is a very basic stance that the unbeliever takes. You see, the basic confession that the Christian makes and that the church makes is quite different. The basic confession of the church and the basic confession of the individual Christian is simply this: Christ is Lord. And Paul is very emphatic about this in Romans 10:9. He says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. You see, salvation is experienced not as I continue to assert Denny is Lord, but salvation is experienced in my life when I bow before Christ and I say, He is Lord. And so what we look at this morning is that very basic confession that Jesus Christ is Lord. And not only so, we see in our text this morning that this particular confession is tied to solid belief in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And this being the case, we should also see that when you come to Christ, you respond in a very definite way, and we need to look at that. And we see, and we need to see then finally, that all of this has to do with our evangelism. It is of utmost importance in our evangelism. Well, first of all, let's consider the basic confession leading to salvation. Look at Romans 10:9. Paul says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord. The basic confession in, as it's translated in the New American Standard Version, is Jesus as Lord. The King James Version, I believe, says you must confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. That's an acceptable way to translate the original language, but it seems to me the New International Version has the better translation when it simply says, Jesus is Lord. That's the confession that must be made. After his resurrection, the Lord Jesus, we remember, ascended bodily into heaven. And as Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3 says, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. In other words, he sat down upon the throne of heaven and of earth, the place of power and authority. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 21 says, Christ is seated far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this present age, but in the one which is to come. And 1 Peter 2:22 describes Christ as the one who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand, with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him. You see, the testimony of the Bible is very clear. The testimony of the Bible is that Jesus Christ is now Lord of all. This was why Christ was raised from the dead, that he might be believed on by men and confessed as Lord. Paul says, for this reason Christ died and returned to life, so that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. And I'm sure most of you remember that very great passage in Philippians chapter 2, in which the Apostle Paul describes the reason for Christ's exaltation. He says very plainly that Christ was exalted in order that he might be confessed as Lord. Listen to what he says. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You see, Jesus Christ is at this moment King of Kings and Lord of lords. All authority in heaven and upon earth has been given to him. And the requirement laid upon people everywhere is that they repent of the sin of worshiping and serving themselves, and that they turn to worship and serve Christ and confess him as Lord. And notice how the Apostle Paul puts it in Romans 10:9. He says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord. You must confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord. In other words, you must publicly announce to those around you and to the world that you trust in Christ. This is an interesting thing, because it seems that our religion is really not, therefore, a private affair between God and ourselves. Rather, what we believe is a very public matter. It is open to the world. Jesus himself says it. He says, everyone therefore who shall confess me before men, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever shall deny me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven. In other words, you and I must stand up before a watching and a listening world and abdicate the throne of our lives. And we must confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord of our lives. And before that same watching world, we must bow before Christ and openly state for all to hear that we serve not ourselves, but Christ. Notice again how Paul puts it, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord. Now, because God does require of us a confession like this, he also sends to us His Holy Spirit to enable us to make that confession. For you see, without the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, a sincere confession of Christ as Lord would never be made. In fact, those who are not possessed of the Holy Spirit more likely curse the name of Christ, and very often we hear that. Paul, again, is very clear about this. He says, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit says, Jesus be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. In other words, what we're saying is very plain. The confession that Jesus Christ is Lord is a Spirit-born confession. And just as we have said in the past that repentance comes as a result of the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of an individual, and just as faith is a gift of the Holy Spirit, so it is that the confession that Jesus Christ is Lord comes as a result of the presence of the Holy Spirit in the life of a person. And so we have, you see, in our text this morning, a Spirit-born confession that Jesus Christ is Lord. And you see also that the Apostle Paul ties this confession with solid belief in the fact that Christ was raised from the dead. He says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. To be saved, you must believe in the resurrection of Christ from the dead. And the truth is that God did raise Christ from the dead. Our Lord Jesus Christ hung in agony on a cross for 3 hours, and he died. He took upon himself during that time the full fury of God's wrath against sin. He sacrificed himself there to pay the penalty for the sins of many. And on that same evening, his body was taken down from the cross, wrapped in linen, and placed in a tomb. But then on the third day after he died, God raised him from that grave. And of course it was necessary that Christ be raised from the grave. He was proved to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. But also without this resurrection, there would have been no ascension into heaven. And Christ would not now be there, seated on the throne, reigning as king. You see, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ presupposes a couple of things. It presupposes on one side the death of Christ on behalf of sinners. And it presupposes on the other side the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ and his present reign in heaven. And it is this resurrection, tied on one hand to the death of Christ, and on the other hand to the ascension and lordship of Christ, it is this resurrection that must be believed. And Paul puts it more specifically, saying in our text that you must believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. You see, the faith that the Apostle Paul speaks of here emanates from the heart. And according to the Bible, the heart is not just that powerful, enduring muscle that pumps blood throughout our bodies. No, it's more than that. In the Bible, the heart represents all that a man is, the core and the center of human life. It involves the thinking of a human being. And the heart also includes the will, your decision-making power. Now you see, if we understand the heart in this way, this helps us better to understand what faith is. The kind of faith that the Apostle Paul is talking about. You see, if you believe in the resurrection, you must first of all intellectually accept the fact that God did raise Christ from the dead. And not only so, you must feel with all of your being that need for new life which Christ can give because he was raised from the dead. And not only so, belief in the resurrection includes your will because then you choose to go to Christ, to bow before him, and to confess him as Lord. But now let's get this straight also. It is only a heart that has been renewed by the power of the Holy Spirit that is capable of such faith. It is only a heart which has been renewed, which has been born again, which is capable of such faith. Paul plainly says, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. That is, those who are without the Spirit cannot please him. And as Jesus says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. In other words, the lordship of Christ means nothing to an individual who has not been born again. They can't understand it. And so you see, to be enabled to believe in the resurrection, you must be born again of the Spirit. Or to put it another way, to be enabled to believe in the resurrection, you must partake of resurrection life. That is, you must partake of the Holy Spirit. And so again, what we are talking about is something that takes place in the human heart by the power of the Spirit. We are talking about the fact that you must be filled with the Spirit. Just as the confession that Jesus Christ is Lord comes about as a result of the work of the Spirit, so it is that solid belief in the resurrection of Christ is also a result of the work of the Spirit. But now let's move on. All of this being the case, we should see that when you come to Christ, there is a very specific response. And Paul shows us this is the case in verses 6 and 7 in Romans 10. Look at that if you would. He says, but the righteousness based on faith speaks thus. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is, to bring Christ down. Or who will descend into the abyss? That is, to bring Christ up from the dead. In other words, Paul is saying this. He's telling us that the heart and the mouth are connected. And I hope you see that connection. In verse 6, the righteousness based on faith speaks thus. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? And to take it a step further, the Apostle Paul is saying, look, a believing heart will not ask certain questions. A believing heart will not ask, who will ascend into heaven? And the reason a believing heart will not ask, who will ascend into heaven, is that a believing heart knows that Christ has ascended into heaven. And to ask the question, who will ascend into heaven, is to deny the fact that Christ has gone into heaven. It is to deny the ascension of Christ. It is, in other words, as Paul puts it, to bring Christ down out of heaven. And to consider that he has never gone into heaven and that he does not reign in heaven as Lord. And a believing heart will not do that. And a believing heart will also not ask, who will descend into the abyss? The abyss is the pit of hell. The place of death. And you recall that the Lord Jesus Christ suffered all the torments of hell when he hung on the cross.
And his body was placed in the grave. And if you ask the question, who will descend into the abyss? In essence, what you're saying is, well, Christ has not gone there. And you deny his death. And if you deny his death, you also deny his resurrection. And a believing heart will not do that. You see, a believing heart will not ask those questions, who will ascend into heaven or who will descend into the abyss. But rather, what will a believing heart say? Verse 8. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we are preaching. You see, for the believing heart, the word of faith which we have been talking about is very close in the heart and in the mouth. In the believer's heart, there is faith in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is faith in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ because the believer has partaken of the Spirit of life. And therefore, they do believe in the resurrection because they've tasted of it. And because the believer has tasted of the resurrection of Christ, they have no choice but to bow before him and to confess him as their Lord. And so you see, when you come to Christ, there is a very specific response. You believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. And because you believe in the resurrection, you confess him as Lord. Everything leads to that confession that Jesus Christ is Lord. As Paul puts it, this is the path of salvation, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Now, this is all of utmost importance when we think of speaking to others about Christ. You see, salvation is only experienced as you believe in the resurrection. And as you confess Christ as Lord, the Holy Spirit does give men and women new hearts, new life. He does cause them to be born again. And when men and women experience this resurrection life, they do believe in the resurrection of Christ from the dead. And the result is too, and it can't be overemphasized, it seems to me, that they then see who Christ really is. The resurrected Lord. And so the confession that Christ is Lord only follows very naturally. And if this is the case, and it is, then our evangelism must lead in that direction. In other words, our evangelism must place a solid emphasis upon the lordship of Christ. Remember now what man's basic sin is. A desire to serve himself rather than Christ. And that must be turned around. Christ must be confessed as Lord. And so, you see, it is to the living Lord Jesus Christ that the attention of men and women must be directed. I'd like you to take a look at this little track again, very briefly. And notice, just turn to the center of it again. Notice the emphasis upon the lordship of Christ that we have. Look at point A in the center. Forgiveness of sin and freedom from guilt are obtained through repentance of sin and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, it is to the Lord Jesus Christ that men and women must be directed. And look at the bottom of that page, to Acts 16:31. I think this sometimes escapes our notice. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. It is to the Lord Jesus Christ that men and women must be directed. And then look at point B on the next page. The gifts of eternal life and access to heaven are obtained through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, we must exhort men and women to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. And point C, the Lord Jesus Christ freely offers himself to you, saying, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Who is it that freely offers himself to men and women? It is the exalted, resurrected, reigning Lord Jesus Christ who offers himself to men and women. And that must be explained. And then we come to Romans 10. If you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Do you see the emphasis on the Lordship of Christ? I'm very anxious for you to grasp. And for you, I am exceedingly desirous for you to see that when you pray for an individual, that the Holy Spirit may come upon them, that you can expect certain things to happen. You can expect that person to believe in the resurrection of Christ from the dead. And you can expect that person to come to the place where they acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord. And so, you and I should be prepared to emphasize that very thing. And this little tract that we have put together, again, is a tool to help us do just that. So let's not be afraid to use a tool like this. Rather, let's be bold to set forth the claims of Christ. He is Lord. And as our text says, to confess him as Lord, that's the way of salvation. For if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your hearts that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved.